Welcome back, Talking Animals. It's another episode of your favorite podcast where we discuss the hottest of topics from wildly different perspectives. This week, change it up a little bit. I guess it's actually consistent with last week. But anyways, you know, we got your usual suspects, me, Lamp, Beezy, Juan.
Why you said my name last, nigga? Damn.
Oh, I ain't he didn't even say right. Your name last, nigga.
Yeah, I did. I said it'd be Lamp, Beezy, Juan, and then we got Big Cat extra. Cheetah, Darrell. You know? Yeah, so I did say it last because I said Darrell's name last. But anyways, we're going to finally start the show. You know, we like to start fast, but sometimes we have to go slow because we deal with slow people. But anyways, this week in the stable, and we'll talk about the NBA and the stance that they took last week. But, you know, the NBA actually I guess it was 2 weeks ago now, or was that last week? Anyways, they have now resumed play after first putting a plan in place. I know to end last week's show, we talked about how, you know, we were just saying like, okay, well, y'all boycotted for 2 days. Now what? So now,
I tell you what, they playing basketball. They playing basketball though. Who gives a fuck?
What you mean?
Talking about that motherfucking plan. They gonna play basketball. They got to get that money, bro.
Shit. I think that them having a plan in place, I don't agree with Warren, but I actually don't think it means that much, because if I'm an owner of an NBA team and I feel how the players think I may feel, then what's to stop me from saying, yeah, we'll do whatever. Go out there and play, and we'll talk about it next year. Because, I mean, did they sign something? You know,
at this point, no one really knows. Like, the only thing that everyone knows is all the voting stuff that they got the league to kind of push through. And then the one thing that made me laugh, because the Bucks, who were the first team to, like, just not come out onto the court, they released a statement, like, just earlier, like, this week, saying that they were disappointed in some of the stuff that Wisconsin's trying to push through. So in my head, I was like, so if y'all disappointed in what they did, why the fuck did y'all agree to step back on the court?
They might as well not have. They getting their ass beat.
Because they need you to watch the fucking. They need y'all to watch the show, man. I said this shit last time, man. Pandering, bro.
Well, I think there were some things that was done, you know, correctly in a sense with, like, opening all the arenas for voting and stuff like that. My only qualm with that piece is I wonder how that's going to work if, like, you can't get to a certain district, or how they going to set that polling station up.
All that shit do a cover step.
They should still have their districts.
All that shit do a cover step. Like, we care, we tried.
Well, I think you got to take baby steps in order to make at least some balance of time. This is a constant fight. This has been the fight that's going on, obviously, a long time. It's still been going on. America is founded on this.
But even from that standpoint, Darrell, like, this is what it kind of comes to. If you want to say we're tired of it, if you really want to send a message and say you're tired of it, why the fuck they step back on the court if they feel as though they still ain't got everything that they need? Like, I personally feel that as though there is not a document that says that they are going to get the opportunity to get more stuff added when the bubble is over, then they lost. Because realistically, so, all the voting shit that they got, I'm going to keep it 1,000 with you. That is shit that was already happening, because Bron already had Dodger Stadium, State Farm Arena here in Georgia.
But it wasn't
already
going to
be open.
It wasn't all the arenas, though.
Believe me, the rest of the arenas was going to more than likely fall into play, because it was what was going to be good for Pippen, assure you of that. Like, they were going to open up. But to me, the NBA, like, the players, this was their opportunity to where they've kind of been on the forefront of pushing a lot of stuff to be kind of, like, seen and be done. This, to me, was the opportunity where they could say, you know what, that's not enough, until y'all can come to the table and bring more shit about trying to push for a change. We all right, just sit inside these hotel rooms until shit's ready.
You make a good point with that. However, you're leaving something totally out of the equation that I think in this case matters. The reason the players actually were going to sit out, especially between the Lakers and Clippers, they already said it. There was two people that came in and worked negotiations with Chris Paul that passed stuff back and forth between the owners and them. And that was Barack Obama and Michael Jordan. So pretty much, we don't know exactly, as you said, what those documents may say and what was shown and stuff like that. But if you got two of the most powerful people in the country in terms of what they've done, I think that played a significant role. Because apparently, they were the bridge to get points across that got the players back on the court, because a lot of them already checked out.
It's so, still, whatever so they said, we still ain't on the same terms. And let's still go back, like, you know, Obama and fucking Michael Jordan not taking nothing away. I'm basically playing devil's advocate too. Like, shit means, I mean, it means something that they're doing it, but at the end of the day, like, we don't always protect the people that we admire. So I'm going to take it back to LeBron. I think LeBron really bought this shit. But, then, you know, LeBron could quit playing basketball right now and be set with the shit he got going on. So it means a lot that he's out there pushing this shit. But I brought LeBron up because, you know, at the end of the day, LeBron still ain't did what Cap did. Not saying that he should, but, you know, people could throw it up and say LeBron doing this shit for his bread, for his money. Cap ain't doing it for his money, because Cap lost pretty much everything, you know, as far as playing football. However, we going to always protect who we admire. I'm going to change the tune a little bit, but I'm going to keep it on the same, you know, track. Like, think about it. LeBron doing them squats. Maybe he was doing sumo squats. Whatever the fuck it was. But before we all dug into it, like, do y'all remember how many people defended LeBron? I mean, not LeBron, LeBron. With them ugly ass fucking squat. Talking about he got good form and shit. No, the fuck he didn't. If he doing regular squats, now if he trying some other shit, okay, I see it. Spread your legs because you want to get your quads and shit. You know, but at the end of the day, even still, his back was curved. But because it was LeBron, it's like, so that brings me back to Michael Jordan and Obama. We still fighting for a cause, but because Michael Jordan and Obama was like, hey, well, maybe we should look at it like this. Now people are like, oh, okay. Well, I see it now. No, motherfucker. Stick to your motherfucking gun. Just like when motherfucker come on this show and switch up their motherfucking gun and try to talk to please everybody. Nah, if you got something to say, say it. Just like
I'm playing devil's advocate to your devil's advocate right quick. And I think it was a good thing that Michael Jordan came out and set this bridge because of his history. They talking about, oh, he's all sports, no politics, and this, that, and the third. And this issue of racism is not a political issue. This is a human rights issue. That's what people are failing to understand. So Michael Jordan is doing what he feels, hey, this is what I got to do to show that I care. And I think it's significant step.
He's doing it because look good.
But it's or a step
is,
for him.
Is nobody considering Michael Jordan is also an owner. So maybe he doing that to keep that buck moving because
I literally was going to say that.
He going to benefit from it too.
Exactly. That's the point. Okay, so it's about money. So are you going to be about money or are you going to be about the call? Cap was about the call.
My issue with it was I don't feel like there was anything for certain. Like I said, we don't know if they signed anything, if there was any agreement. If there was some type of contractual agreement that the players can hold the owners accountable for, then I'm like, okay, y'all did it. If there isn't, then
pandering. Basically got bent over.
Yeah, because it wasn't that great anyway. Like the whole, you know, LeBron was happy about it. He's like, yeah, we got this, we got that. I'm like, hey, you know, y'all did all right.
Like a good start, basically.
Yeah, but you know, one thing I won't take away from them now, like, hey, them boys, they put a lot of money on the line. Like, you know, they talk about people donating to the cause, but they, like, did not get paid a game check. Well, I guess they probably did because they still played those games. So
how's that affecting LeBron, though?
But I mean, everybody don't make what LeBron made, bro.
Actually, exactly.
Nobody.
I'm about to say, so George Hill don't make that much money, but he was the first one getting ready to walk out.
So, okay, so I would say Jordan Hill, so don't be talking about Michael Jordan and LeBron and Obama. You need to say, hey, you need to use him as an example. That's how you're going to convince me.
I mean, hey, that.
Bro,
that's
honestly, how you do. I honestly still feel the same way I felt last week. Like, if they really wanted to make a statement, if they really wanted to, you know, incite some type of true change, then the two teams that said that they wanted to boycott or wanted to hold out, which was the Clippers and the Lakers, they should have stayed out. Because everybody knows one of those two teams are going to win the championship this year. It's not even a question. Toronto is going to be they're going to give a very good college try, but they're not going to beat the Clippers or the Lakers. That's, I mean, yeah,
Toronto might not, y'all about to say that. Yeah. They may not even get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I'm about to say, you know, the best looking team in the East right now is Miami.
I mean, I think Miami on a hot streak right now, but I don't think it's going to last.
It's not.
I don't think it's going to last. And honestly,
Jimmy Buckets and Bam.
Honestly, if you really truly think about it, it looks like it's going to be Toronto and one of the West teams from LA. Either way, I feel like they really wanted to make a statement, they would have said, hey, man, this year is going to have asterisks beside it anyway. If y'all want us to be out here, you know, putting on a show for y'all, then y'all need to act like y'all give a damn. We're going to go ahead and boycott the rest of the season, and we're going to see what y'all think about that. Well, they didn't do that. They boycotted for one game, and that game pretty much was on hold. And like, you know, Lamp and Darrell just said, they came back and played the same game the next time. So they didn't even lose any money. They didn't even lose any money because it didn't change anything for you know, like I said last week, the gamblers, all the people in Vegas, hell, all they had to do was wait another day. Like, damn, I can't make $50,000 tonight. I'll just make it tomorrow.
Yeah.
When these Dunkin' Monkeys come back.
Ooh.
Oh boy!
Ooh, good turn.
You know, I'm just gonna stick to what I said though, because again, I say Obama and Jordan played a serious role in getting those boys back on the court with whatever they said.
Okay,
but why?
They was good. Yeah, they was good. Exactly. They was good. Coons.
Where's the Kobe? Ooh, where's the Kobe gift where you need it? Because right now, this is where like I want to see the, like Kobe in the commercial saying more. Because there needs to be more. Kobe, like those three things they told us, that's cool.
But I love Kobe. I thought he'd been playing ball too. I thought she about to say the Kobe soft one.
I honestly think everybody would be playing ball right now, and I think they proven that they all playing ball. In 100% honesty, I can't say that I wouldn't have been playing ball if I was in the NBA. Right. But in my mind, I feel like if I'm out there and I'm saying that I want this, and this, I feel like they're a little lukewarm right now. You know, I feel they're a little lukewarm. I feel like they can't get what they need with that. The Bible says if you're lukewarm, you know, God will spew you out of his mouth. I feel like the way that they're going about it right now, they just getting spit back out. You know, it's nothing happening.
Well said, B's. Well said.
Very well said.
Nothing happening for what they're doing, bro. They're literally lukewarm. They're not hot. They're not cold. They're in the middle and not doing shit. But like I said, I can't say I wouldn't have been doing the same thing if I was in their position. I don't know. But I would like to think that if I had that type of income, if I was generating that type of revenue, and I felt the way I would like to think that I would just say, hey, bro, y'all can have it. Let somebody else win it. I'm going to sit out this year because this is what I said I was going to do. I'm not going to sit out for one game and then y'all bring me back and give us, you know, the rest of these states, arenas for voting. Because that should have been something that was set in place in the first goddamn place. Yep. Back on the court.
Yeah, just to get in the bubble. That should have been, you know, before they even started. You know, like, that's, to get that's in the bubble should, in the first place.
That shit should have been in place, period. Before we even had to do the bubble. Because clearly,
you're talking about in general.
In general, bro. Like, why the hell is it so hard to vote? In general, that should have been something that's...
Well,
if it really is our right to vote and it's supposed to be something that y'all actually want us to go out and do, why the fuck is it so hard, bro?
I got an easy answer for you.
Is easy.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you know, just look at that constitution that says all men are created equal, yet black people were still not even people at that point in time.
And just to expound on that, I mean, just in this era that we live in now, it's like, whether people think of them as equal or not, like clearly they're saying everybody got the right to vote. That you know, are in good legal standing. You got the right to vote, but it seems to be harder in some areas than others to vote. Like I live in a relatively solid area. I don't think my area is a bad area. I think the concentration of my area that I live in is of African American people is pretty high though. So in just in my state alone, I wonder why is it so hard to vote in my area versus other areas. My sister
our lives, precinct 4 hours.
Exactly. My sister lived, my youngest sister lives 6 miles away from me. And it took her 5 minutes to vote. And she said that was including her getting in and out of her car. I live 6 miles away from her, and it took us 4 hours to vote for the primary. 4 hours. So to me, I see a problem with that. When we got Colonial Life Arena, which is one of the larger college arenas in the nation, it holds over 16,000 people in a basketball mm-hmm. arena. And if need be, we got Williams-Brice Stadium. Hell, you could turn it into a facility for a Kenny Chesney concert. You could put voting polls in there if you want to. So my whole thing is if it's supposed to be something that we had the right to do, why is it so hard to do in the first place? That shouldn't be something NBA had to boycott for, that they had to miss a game. We said, okay, we agree. We gonna give y'all the arenas so that y'all don't have to worry about, you know, these long lines anymore. Bitch, y'all should have been doing that already. That shouldn't
Thank
be
something you.
We getting for, but you for know, holding out you know for a game.
You know what else South Carolina does that I realize, I just realized that we don't do it here in Houston, that I think is stupid. Like the precincts and the districts, like you have to vote at a certain place or you can't vote or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and that's ridiculous. To your point, you know, using some place like Williams-Brice Stadium just can be just like a hub. But
yeah,
like here, bro, like anywhere that there's a voting precinct, you can go vote.
That's and crazy.
Like,
really.
And that, I'm that, like, and I was telling Marla, like, I was like, hey, wait, you know, like, we can do that. Why doesn't everybody do that? Like,
exactly, bro. That's
with
exactly
technology,
what
I'm sure it's simple.
Like, bro, we live in 2020. And I just named the two places here. You got these two places that I named here in Charleston. You got the Charleston
North Charleston Coliseum,
and then in North Carolina you got Bonson
River
Course,
Dogs Park,
right? Yeah, Greenville.
I mean, you got Greenville. I mean, I said North. That's in North Carolina.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I talking about? Upstate, you got Bonson Course. You got what else you got up there?
You got the
you got any one of Clemson facilities?
We talking crazy. We talking crazy. What you mean? Why it's not happening? Cause we already know. Cause we being pandered, we being manipulated, bro. Like
being suppressed.
Suppressed.
I say we ain't being manipulated. We being suppressed.
Right, bro. Yeah, we are, because some people believe this shit. Like, oh, well, I can't. Nah, bro. Like at the end of the day. I think, if I'm not mistaken, and we could look it up, it could be some conservative shit because they blame Democrats for everything. But, like, the voting districts, like, I don't buy the shit with Lyndon B. Johnson. Maybe y'all heard me talk about it, maybe not. I don't know if I spoke on it before I'm drunk. Anywho, Lyndon B. Johnson, in the 60s, it's a quote. I don't know if it really says, if we can get the Negro vote, then we'll win. Anywho, back then, when we felt like Democrats was on our side and they was going to help us, what the fuck make you think that a white man from because Carnegie in Texas or whatever, we out here in South Carolina, from any of the states in the Bible Belt, that Bible Belt in the antebellum South, what the fuck made Lyndon B. Johnson, out of all the white men that had passed before him, say, I like black people. Black people are okay with me. I'm going to help them out. That shit ain't happen like that. No, that motherfucker needed votes, man. And then they got the vote. They redirected shit to make it look like they was helping us. And now, oh, if you a felon, you can't vote. For why? I'm still a citizen of the United States. I made a fucked up decision. I got caught. You didn't. You could be a fraud. I just sold a dope. I just sold a little dope.
And of course, there is the, you know, the wrongful conviction rate here too. Like, you know, for those.
Right, man. Like you take the black man out the hood because he's selling dope. All right, you took somebody dead. The big man in the hood who's saying, "Hey, we can't make no money. I'm gonna sell this dope. I'm gonna put shit back in the hood. I'm gonna buy turkeys. I'm gonna buy Christmas." Oh, you take him out. Well, you got little Jimmy, and I just say Jimmy, not to be stereotypical. Looking up at Mr. Ralph, who's the biggest drug dealer in the neighborhood, who's taking care of the neighborhood. Oh, I want to be like him. You know what I'm saying? So now you're taking another father figure out of the hood. So somebody gonna feel his shoes because, like, damn, I want to make this money. I want to take care of the hood. And it's just a motherfucking cycle. You know what I'm saying? That's why I can't forgive Joe Biden so easily. I'm probably gonna go vote Democrat for Kamala because fuck Trump. Because I hate this, you know.
Well, speaking of which, right quick, you know, a couple points, you guys said a lot right there, but a couple points, I know one thing Jamaria pointed out to me, Trump actually is about to present a marijuana bill to legalize it in a lot of places, conveniently 2 months before the election, so you have that coming up, but you said a whole lot right there, and it's a lot behind it, because I know prior I did talk about gerrymandering, and that's how that precinct thing came into place. And it's crazy to me that Carnegie can go vote in Houston or Dallas or San Antonio or whatever, and I have to vote at this one place, even though I might work over here, do stuff over there, XYZ. But that's how they hold us down.
I 100% agree with that, and I just, not to say that they're both the same, because they're not, and I don't want people to get it twisted and feel like I think that they are the same. But I think that in 2020, in the year 2020, the fact that we, like how Niggy say, they don't do that in Texas. The fact that we got precincts that we got to vote at, specific precincts for one. Like I say, my sister lives 6 miles away from me and it took her 5 minutes. Why the fuck can't I go down to her precinct and vote? Like, clearly, it would be easier if some of us could go down to her precinct.
They don't want your vote, bro.
Oh, I know. But I'm just saying, like, it blows my mind that we have these type of issues. But in 2020, if you want to vote for damn the Pro Bowl or the NBA All-Star, you can just hashtag it on Twitter. Like, how can y'all figure out how to make something so easy when it comes to that shit?
Now, that is a good point, Easy.
It's easy as fuck when it comes to that. But to vote for our goddamn president, we got to wait 4 hours in one precinct when other people are 6 miles away voting in 5 minutes. That shit blows my mind. And to me, it seems like that's how they want it to be. They want somebody to say, I've been here too long. Fuck this. I'm not voting. Because how the hell is everything so technological? Technology is so advanced, but we still doing this dumb shit that we've been doing for 20 years to vote.
And not to get too far off tangent, but another point that I was talking to Carnegie about with John Stewart.
We've been on tangent.
My bad. I'll be quick. But John Stewart was saying something about why people of color need to try and get equity instead of, you know, equality, because he was saying you get equity, the equality will come behind it. Because for the years we've been fighting for equality, equity's just been given out to people. And he gave plenty of examples. Great interview to check out. But just that to that piece where I was bringing up with those precincts we have set up here, it takes a lot of people, minorities may not have proper transportation.
Who want to be equal?
Even get to a precinct.
Who want to be equal? I don't want to be equal.
No, that's why I was saying.
I need a motherfucker to be equal to me.
If you get equity, it's going to equate to equality.
Them will never give us equality, bro.
I mean,
equality, like us really, like at this point, it comes back to what Niggy said near the end of last week's episode. Like, they will never see us as equals. Like, it'll never be seen that way. Like, it will always be a situation of we're battling to try to be on this. Like, what we need, honestly, equity is what exactly we need. But to ask equality is going to come from us having equity, that shit will still not happen because they will not let it happen. Like, we can get equity, but equality, I'm going to be honest, is dead in the water.
No, I see what you're trying to say with it, but if you go and get equity, at that point, you are the same playing field as the next person. They consider
want. No, don't say the next person. Say the white person. Because at the end of the day, I'm not trying to equal no white man, bro. I'm proud to be black. I seen two crackheads fighting with sticks and rocks last week, and I was proud, like, damn, because they were drinking Keystone Light. They spent $6 and bought a case. They fought, and to the next day, they were sitting out there drinking again, bro.
Whoa.
I'm proud to be black, bro. Because at the end of the day, you know, you don't have that solidarity. As black people, we not as solid as we need to be, but there was solidarity to me with them fucking crackheads, bro. You feel what I'm saying? That was solidarity to me. Because we got our own. We in the hood now. motherfucking police come up. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. Oh, they was on his ass. No, we're going to stick together. And that's what the fuck we need to do. I don't diss no white man, bro, but I'm not trying to be equal to none of them.
Sham fucking wow. Sham none fucking of them. Wow.
Make that motherfucker be equal to me. Show me you can match me, motherfucker.
I did.
So what's up? So what's up next, nigga?
Yes. Please.
I ain't banging back on the crackhead fighting. I enjoyed it. I was cutting grass and I was working, making money, and I got to see a fight. Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury ain't got nothing on these motherfuckers.
Oh my goodness. Hey, well, all I was saying was John Stewart gave a great interview of it, and I respect his opinion.
Fuck him. He ain't show up tonight. I hope you listen to this shit, John. They ought to tag your ass in this shit.
The man said John Stewart.
Oh, I thought he said Josh. Because Josh, I still mean it, though. I can't wait to see you or to listen to you.
Okay, definitely. So. That's gonna wrap it up for the stable.
Hey, it's Niggy, and y'all might be tired of hearing me talk, you know, because I'm typically hosting the show, but I got something else I want to say, and I need y'all to listen. During the quarantine, which was for me like about 3 months, your boy gained a lot of weight, and if you listen to the show, you already know I'm fat, like, but I got like extra fat during the quarantine, so I knew I had to do something, and FNX Fit was just the right thing at just the right time to help me overcome the weight that I gained during quarantine. And they provide premier health supplements that are designed to help athletes, which, you know, I used to be one of those, but it also is for people starting their fitness journey, like kind of like myself right now. So you get to have something of quality that you can trust without any extra fillers. And for those of you that don't know what extra fillers are, that's just like that stuff that you can't pronounce that are in like your supplements that you really don't want, because you just want your supplement to do what you're buying it to do so that you can get the best results. And that's what the products of FNX Fit do for you. You get the boost you need, or the results that you're looking for, without having to worry about all kinds of extra stuff being in your body and getting those things that you don't want. And right now, you can look for the products to help you in your fitness journeys by using our referral link, which you'll see listed with our podcast. Using their referral links or the promo code FNXTA podcast to get 15% off right now. So make sure you hit it up, use the link or use the promo code to get that 15% off. Let us know what you think of the products. I think you're going to be happy. Again, you're getting the result with all the extra. Again, this is Niggy. I'm out of here. Make sure y'all check us out.
I know next up, as we always bring you guys, we bring you the web, which I know in the web we pull truly from the internet and topics that we may discuss in the Facebook group. And one of the big things that's been coming around was the conversation of Tyler Perry officially becoming a billionaire. So what do you guys think about that?
I'm happy for him, but fuck his plays. I'm so tired of Tyler Perry. I already know somebody going to get cheated on in your fucking play. We're going to watch the shit every cookout. I'm so proud of you. But, man, kill somebody in one of your damn movies, bro. Kill a main character.
Bro, he dead. What the fuck are you talking about?
He killed that son of a bitch at the end of the movie with 5 minutes left, and it was one of the motherfuckers we didn't want to die. He let the motherfucker with cancer live.
Oh, you talking about Why to Get Married too?
Yeah. Who else he gonna kill? Who else Tyler Perry gonna kill?
Did you not see Alex Cross?
That shit don't count, man. You seen that motherfucker afro? That somebody got that damn wig from Wish. Man, hell no. I ain't watched that shit because I feel like it was going to be like his play. I bet somebody got cheated on in it.
Nah, no one got cheated on.
I ain't going to watch it anyway.
Just a good bit of people died.
God damn.
Not like that. Hey, put on for your city, bro.
Oh, my.
Wow.
You got to respect the grind.
I do. Gotcha. I do. I just don't respect your play. Cause I don't know if somebody's going to get cheated on. They going to sing 37 motherfucking gospel songs.
Quite a fucking lot inside.
And everybody going to get friends in the end and realize they made life mistakes.
Bro, when I read that article this week, I was like, damn, bro. Because I remember when we first started doing our podcast too, I was like, I remember Angela Yee talking about, you know, she been doing podcast. Because I mean, I just started hearing about podcasts within the last 5 years. Me personally, I didn't even know podcasts were a thing until like 5 years ago. We've been doing ours now for 3 years. So when I heard Angela Yee talking about hers, she said she had been podcasting for 10 years. And she's, Angela Yee, been in the industry for over 20 years now.
That means we got 30 years before we get popping, but I'm gonna be fucking 60 years old talking my shit.
Maybe. Or maybe we could be ahead of the curve. You never know. Nah. Never know, man, because, you know, I think about stuff like that, and I'm thinking about her saying, you know, it took her 10 years before her podcast actually started making noise. And Angela Yee been in the industry since she was like a teenager. Now, you think about Tyler Perry becoming a billionaire, and they said his first year he did the play. He did one play.
They said he had cheated on.
Yeah, I guarantee that. But he had 12.
Thank you, bro. People.
Well, actually, I can't even remember the first Madeas if people were getting cheated on. I know it was funny back then. I remember when everybody was bootlegging back then. Matter of fact, you know what? I remember we was going to Waterloo, Iowa. I remember this shit like yesterday. It was 2000, the year 2000, bro, I think. 2000, maybe 2001. We was going to Waterloo, Iowa. And we was on a bus, one of them charter buses, and somebody had a Madea tape. Nobody had ever heard of Madea, bro. Nobody had ever heard of it. But one of my aunts, they used to go to these hair conventions in Atlanta. They used to do all these, you know, these big time hair. They used to be big back then, back when, before WAP brought these up dudes back, back when up dudes was popping. They used to go
to these. Brother type events that they always have down here in Atlanta.
Bro, it used to be big time, bro. My aunts used to go to Atlanta, right? So they got this Tyler Perry tape, and one of them popped it in, and we watched that shit all the way to Waterloo, Iowa, and back, bro, nonstop. It, like, everybody was glued into it because we had never seen it before. And that was one of the first, you know, Tyler Perry skits that he did. But he was already in the game for a couple years at that time, and we didn't even know it. They said Tyler Perry did his first play, and 12 people were there. And he only did one that year. Then he did the same exact play the next year, and there's a few more people. They said he did the same play 7 years in a row. 7 years in a row before it started actually generating that type of revenue.
The same play 7 years in a row, bro.
Shout out to the old dudes, though. Like, I think that shit is texture. I can't. I'm trying to get, you know, my lady to get her damn up doing. She like, nope. Nope.
They pass all them down. They pass all the shit it take to get them that hair up like that.
That is true.
Past them days, all that. Damn,
hey, before we Bobby move fan. On, though, before we move on, Cardi B a mid.
Bro, what the what? Fuck?
Which what? One? I said before we move on, which one, Cardi B or mid? Which one y'all choose?
Wash.
Oh,
it's a wash.
It truly is.
Nah, I'd rather have mid.
Y'all niggas, why? I said the N word twice. I'm sorry, y'all.
I can't necessarily. Like, either way, you don't lose, in my opinion.
It's a wash, bro. It's a
you
wash.
Don't really lose.
It's an absolute wash.
In my opinion, you do lose. But hey,
I can't say a wash because it depends on preference. I'm speaking. I just want the world to know. I'm speaking for my preference. It's a wash, bro. Y'all know how I get down.
Whichever, you do love his chocolate girls.
Whichever
man.
One, dog.
That's what I'm saying, man. Darker. That's part of my point.
That's who I'm picking.
Let me tell you something. Oh, I is a wash. A woman I always say is pink. P-A-N-K.
I don't give a fuck if it's blue.
P-Y-N-K.
Ooh, I take that, bro. But anyway, I like Cardi. I got to go with Cardi.
I don't even know what that means, but that's on P-Valley.
Oh, man, hell no. Ain't nobody talking about no Uncle Larry. What that motherfucking name is?
Number one is Uncle Clifford.
Uncle Clifford. Man, get your ass off this motherfucking podcast talking about some P-Valley.
I was asking a question.
And number two, Warren, don't knock P-Valley, no.
P-Valley is the shit, but when you think of P-Valley, when I think of P-Valley, all I hear Uncle motherfucking Clifford. Mm-mm. Do your
that
thing.
Damn sure ain't what I think. That damn sure ain't what I think when I hear P-Valley.
Nah, I see.
But hey, you do you.
Now I got a subscription to that shit because a motherfucker put me on P-Valley because he liked Uncle Clifford. But he gave me his subscription because I was looking at that shit eating salmon patties and got in the hazmat casserole and this motherfucker shook her ass off her back. Oh my God.
Look, I was just asking what the acronyms meant. I don't know. That's all. But
P Valley stands for Pussy Valley, bro. It's a
strip. Oh, no.
No, he talking about pink.
Before that. Yeah.
It's pink. It's pink.
And it ain't no acronym. It's a color.
It's what they call the strip club.
Yeah. Oh.
Pink.
Learn something new.
But now, Tyler Perry being a billionaire, that to me, because like Beez was saying, it's crazy because we can, like, I legitimately, just like him, I remember when those plays first came out, and I used to say, like, this shit is not going to, like, there's no way you could just keep doing the same type of plays with, like, this same main character, like, over and over and over
again. He proved you wrong.
And it did. It legitimately did. That shit got boring to me after a while, and everybody was still in love with it.
Let me tell you what's even crazier than that, though. If you think about it, like, how the world got to actually put respect on Tyler Perry drive or his work ethic as a whole. People got to put respect on it because
and his eye for talent. People don't ever talk about that either.
I mean, he definitely got that. Now he does use the same style, so it's kind of easy to pick the same style of people. But just think about this, bro. Like I said, we was watching this tape. I don't know where the hell this tape came from. 9 times out of 10, it was probably bootlegged at the time, probably bro. Before Tyler Perry came, everything was bootlegged. Everything was bootleg, bro. CDs, all of that. Tyler Perry literally changed the market to where you couldn't bootleg shit, to where piracy became a thing where people was going to prison for.
Tyler Perry
changed that, bro.
I don't know.
It wasn't until after Madea tape started getting. If you go back and look at the timeline, bro, it wasn't until after all the Madea tapes was getting bootlegged that everybody started putting those warnings at the beginning of those things.
You know why? Maybe you got a point. You know why? Because black people started doing it. Because, oh, shit, we got to get that Tyler Perry. And then they were like, mm-mm, no, sir.
Tyler Perry was like, mm-mm, no, sir. Mm-mm. You know why? Because Tyler Perry had done the same play for 7 years in a row and had lived out of his car by year 5. And he was like, nah, give me my goddamn coin.
And you know who he went to? The white man, and it's some these Negroes is tripping. Not today, Negroes.
Boy. I don't know where he went, but I know where he at now. I feel like, I mean, he probably wasn't the number one, you know, reason why it happened, but I blatantly remember during that time frame. You had illegal satellites back then. Motherfucker were getting chip cards processed and all kinds of shit.
Oh,
bro.
Man, they got watching NFL Sunday.
They got hit,
bro. Motherfucker had free NFL Sunday ticket, bro. After Tyler Perry put out all that piracy shit, bro, chip cards started getting zapped. You couldn't watch Pride
because Negroes were doing it. They were like, how is he watching this damn fight? No, I give you that though. Tyler Perry, on some real shit, if you listen to this, I'm just talking. I got mad respect for you. Somebody please tag this motherfucker so we can get famous. Ain't nobody tagging Charlamagne. I'm on one night, bro. Tag KT, I got a bun. $5 some lunch.
And I just dropped my phone.
Hey, listen, bro. Listen. You ain't gotta give nobody else double gifts. Because they tagged the shit out of her last week, bro.
They really did.
They tagged shit out of last week, bro. You got to understand Kurt. You know what I'm saying, bro?
Yeah, we got Kurt like a motherfucker.
Bro, we all been there before, bro.
Topic we're talking about right now. It relates totally to the topic. Because you know what? We keep doing the same thing, bringing this heat every single week, and keep on doing the same thing, then it's going to pick on up.
I think that was literally the first point that we made talking about Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, so you brought that thing back. I like how you did that.
I actually texted y'all in the group this week when I read that. When I read that Tyler Perry thing, I texted y'all and said Tyler Perry did the same play for 7 years in a row, and within 20 years, that means it took him 13 years to become a billionaire. Can you think how insane that is, bro?
Man, he became a billionaire in
13 years.
From living out of his car to being a billionaire.
They said he did the same play for 7 years in a row.
Pawn. I just want to be a thousand now.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I just want to pay my student loans off in there.
Fuck the student loan. I ain't paying none of this shit. I just want to buy baby needs a house. Mama needs some shoes.
I ain't even gonna lie to you though, man. I love to see other people do that shit, man. And I'd be so glad especially when people of color can do it, because we've been, you know, for so long where we couldn't reach that level. But I'd be so glad when I see other people do it, because I know somewhere deep down in my heart, I feel like God ain't never gonna let me have that. He never gonna let me have that, bro, because he knows.
I ain't claiming it.
He know. I ain't claiming it. I feel it, bro. I feel it because I know. I feel like God is like, nope, because I know your dumb ass gonna be in the club on Facebook talking shit. You're gonna be riding around. Yeah. You're gonna be riding around with Columbia in a Wraith with stars on the roof. You're gonna be Snapchatting talking about you ain't got this. No, I'm not giving it to you.
Hey, I feel you.
I feel like that's where God at with me. Like, he know I'm humble now, but he know my heart.
I say humble. We don't get on flex. That though. But Beez, I feel you on that but only reason I'm gonna disagree with you because he forgiven. I'm be like, God, you say you were gonna forgive me for that now.
I ain't gonna do nothing wrong, but I think he just wanna humble me. I told him before, you know, I had a conversation with God. I talked to him like I talked to y'all. You feel me? I told him before. I said, God, listen, I've been humble. I feel like I've been humble long enough. I feel like you've been beating me for a long time. And I feel like it's time that I ride around Columbia with stars on my roof and talk shit.
But can you imagine all the shit we going through right now, and then you get to heaven and God be, go to hell. Like, bro, I know. Ain't no way I went through all that shit and I got to go to hell.
Exactly, right? You mean to tell me I ain't get the wreath? I ain't getting to talk shit and riding around Columbia, and I still got to go to hell. That's crazy,
I could have easily sold crack, and then people be like, "You can't say that." And people be like, "You can't say that." I'm going to hell. What I got to lose? I'ma show out at the gate.
Well, I mean, hey, that's your prerogative, man. Sometimes you got to show out. And while we talk about people showing out, y'all know what time it is, man. Time for your favorite segment. The favorite segment of the week, when we talk about people who do show out or run out, depending on how you want to look at it. And, you know, tell them what time it is left.
This is the moment that we all been waiting for.
Sucky.
This is what we like to call our ostrich of the week. As I like to call it, the people who portray the highest level of dumbassery.
Ooh.
And this week we got another twofer. Sadly, it isn't anyone from the Facebook group. Brittany, I hope someone told you that you made it. But 9 times out of 10, you ain't listened to the episode, so you still don't know you was the ostrich.
She definitely didn't, because she would have said something.
Yeah, she posts every day. She would have said something by now.
Oh shit, I missed that.
Dang, don't worry, it's floating.
Yeah, you definitely missed that.
Yeah,
but this week's ostrich. I know we're going to start with the first one, and it goes to Miss Sukihana. And for a lot of you who don't know who Sukihana is, she's actually a rap artist. And she has been booming.
Oh, she a rap artist? I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was a rapper either.
She got a song coming out tomorrow called Wolf Pussy.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
First of all, she stole a swag.
Pussy.
Hold on.
But then on top of go ahead.
Did you say Sukihana or Suki Monroe?
Sukihana.
Oh, I know what you said. I just wanted to say Suki Monroe because I know at least 3 out of 5 of us on this phone know who the fuck Suki Monroe is. Go ahead. Don't look up, though.
But now
I am not included in
this. but she's also
it might
like
be only one of us on here to know who the fuck that is.
Exactly.
Oh no, I know three. Go ahead.
She's also been booming on OnlyFans as well. Like, she's been making like a shit ton of money off of her OnlyFans too.
For real?
What
she be posing?
Should be damned if I know. I ain't never seen any OnlyFans, but I'm fairly certain she be twerking, showing titty and pussy.
You think so?
So she's a rap artist.
Like I said, you ain't didn't know she was a rap artist, so obviously she ain't been that big. So
she's nine times out of ten.
Basically, Sukihana got a phone call from Boosie. Boosie he wants her to throw a pool party. So everybody was like, "So you throwing a pool party while a pandemic going on?" She literally turns around and says, "No, Boosie asked me to throw a pool party." And it was like, "But it's during a pandemic." she was like, well, what's who's pandemic? Then they were like, it's a pandemic going on. And she was like, well, I'm not going to be where the pandemic is. I'm going to be throwing a pool party for Bootsy. And like, literally, she just continued to think about pandemic like the pandemic was an actual person.
Well, what did Boosie say? My distant lover.
Oh, Boosie ain't said shit.
Because miles away. Stupid Hana.
Stupid Hana. There we go. But yeah, like she literally treated the pandemic like it was a person. And she just kept saying, I'm not throwing a pool party for pandemic. I'm throwing a pool party for Boosie.
That's a different thing.
Boosie and
pandemic.
She was every bit the definition of a nigga. And I don't mean that in a good way. She was every bit the definition of it. But speaking of Boosie, because Boosie decided he wanted to join the ostrich this week as well. Boosie decided he wanted to go on Twitter as well as Instagram. And he wanted to say we need to start a petition to get R. Kelly out of jail.
Oh, that was him?
He said that?
He said that.
Oh shit!
That's the Boosie knows it's not real.
He said that.
First of all, anybody that believe in Illuminati, I think they believe in 5G.
But China so got 5G. Like,
is that like the QAnon people? The Q people.
The Illuminati.
I have no fucking clue what the fuck you talking about, Drew. The Q people.
QAnon.
You know what? Boosie actually took it a step further. I just had to look it up just so I could actually see the exact tweet from Boosie himself that was posted on September 1st. He also went ahead to say, free Bill Cosby, let's start a petition.
Bro, you know what I was just about to say? I was just about to say that I'm not surprised that he was behind R. Kelly movement because he was very vocal about Bill Cosby, bro. He was very vocal about that. And I'm going to tell you, in our clique, everybody know in our clique, we like Boosie, man. You know, we've been listening to Boosie for a long time. So far, three of us have been
Boosie
married.
Boosie into a wind zone?
Exactly. Literally, so far, three of us have been three of us are married. And Boosie has been played at all three of our weddings so far. It's a staple. It has to be played at the wedding, bro. It's a tradition now. But I'm going to tell you, bro, the older I get, the more I tend to distance myself away from Boosie, bro, because that motherfucker either done did too much drugs in his life or he really thinks the way he thinks. And if he does, I feel like that shit is problematic, bro, because this motherfucker is advocating blatant racist. I mean, not racist, excuse me, rapist.
Rapist.
He is advocating blatant rapist, bro. Like, Bill Cosby and R. Kelly are rapist. And Boosie is advocating that because he feels like white people are not getting the same. When it come down to somebody that's a rapist, bro, fuck color. That motherfucker is a rapist, bro. Why are you advocating for them? I don't understand it.
That's bad.
Now, when you talk about, especially when you advocating for R. Kelly, that been raping, you know, allegedly that, you know, he allegedly raped or molested, you know, young girls. Now I got to sit back and think about, you know, two red bones kissing in the back seat. Girl, don't stop. Keep going there. Relax me. Boosie, how old was them goddamn red bones, bro?
Oh, my goodness.
Now I got to wonder how old the red bones was in the back of your goddamn Charger.
See, I ain't want to say it, but I feel like typically when someone, like, advocates for something like that, they probably have either done it or experienced something like that.
That shit wild to me, bro. That shit wild. Every time Boosie says something else, every time he says something else, I start to think more and more like, bro, you got to chill, bro. Now, mind you now, remember, not too long ago, he had this girl that was twerking on his Instagram Live. And everybody got on him because they thought she was young. Now, luckily, she ended up being like 19 because he didn't know her age at the time. He just was like, "Oh, nah, you too young for me. I'm gonna bring my son in here." So he brought Tootie in there. Matter of fact, he brought his young son in there, and his young son was kind of like shell shocked at first. So he was like, "Nah, I got somebody for you. I'm gonna bring Tootie." Like, Tootie, come in here. So now Tootie comes in there, but it's like, bro, Like, bro, you bring them in here because you think she's young. And that, to me, blew my mind. Like, luckily, like I said, she ended up being of age. But, like, I don't know, bro. That shit, the more you advocate, the worse that shit start to look, bro.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, it's like known evidence against my man. Like, I mean, like, we all love Dr. Huxtable. But Bill Cosby doing, like...
Bro, fuck Dr. Huxtable.
I mean, well, oh, yeah. Boy.
I ain't really fuck with the Cosby Show like that.
And, I mean,
I did. Episodes.
I did, but did and do are two separate things. I mean, he was cool, you know, but
he was acting a role, but I wasn't really Bill Cosby. But now we see who Bill Cosby is.
Fuck that. No,
that's pudding pops.
That when you do, I mean, when it comes down to that, bro, like everything you stand for, that's what I say. Like, listen, I know a lot of people still listen to R. Kelly too. We all, you know, we grew up to R. Kelly. R. Kelly done made plenty babies around here. I don't give a fuck about none of that. Fuck him too. Ooh. Fuck both of them. That's how I feel about it. I'm hoping that I don't ever get to a point where I gotta say fuck Bootsy. But if he keep advocating for these motherfuckers and somebody end up digging up some dirt on him and his ass end up in the same position then, guess who I'm gonna be saying fuck next? It's gonna be fuck Bootsy, bro.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like you advocating for it.
Well, which one of the actresses said it? Is it Kiki? Kiki Palmer said, I'm sorry, sorry to this man.
I don't know this man.
Sorry to this man. Which one of them said that?
Kiki Palmer. I wouldn't recognize this man if he was walking down the street and he was smack dab in front of me.
Sorry to this man.
That's about Boosie?
No. I'm saying that's how I'm going to be about Boosie.
Who is he? Like, who is this man? I don't know.
Oh.
That's how I am about R. Kelly right now. Shit, you don't think I mean? I was listening to old Rick Ross song the other day and I forgot R. Kelly being on that goddamn album. She had me
hard. Man, Speedin'. Yeah, that's such a great album too. Teflon Don.
Well, you know, supposedly R. Kelly got his ass stomped out in prison.
I heard that. I feel bad for him, but you know, I ain't gonna wish no hurt on nobody. Even though he probably should have got his ass stomped out when he was out in the public, I ain't gonna wish that on nobody. But I'm not gonna support him either. I was listening to that throwback Ross the other day, and I heard that R. Kelly. And I said, "This motherfucker on everything."
He killed that poor girl career too. That was an aspiring artist, and she was getting looked at, and was about to blow up.
Right, he killed all of them, all of their careers.
I mean,
but actually, because one of them got away from him, and she ended up on Wild and Out, I think. The one from South Carolina, actually, the one from Columbia.
Oh wow, that's what's up. I didn't know that. I didn't know she was on Wild and Out.
Yeah, she was of age though.
Oh wow, but I'm talking about that one.
She moved in with him.
That singer, like her niece. That story just blew my mind. Like, her niece was, like, 14. Well, eighth grade.
I hope Boosie ain't got nobody niece. You know, he trying to holler at that. Because he advocating a whole lot, bro. When you pushing that rhetoric, bro, it made me wonder. That's the only thing I'm thinking about. It made me wonder, bro.
I'm totally with you.
Bill Cosby clearly said that he dropped Quaaludes inside women's drink with the intent of having intercourse. That shit is cut and dry, bro.
Going
back to the 70s.
It's cut and dry.
He said that? Another Quaalude. Right. Oh, my.
Another
Quaalude.
But you know what, though? It blows my mind how much people don't realize that. Like, how Darrell just asked that. Like, did he say that? It blows my mind how much people don't actually know that Bill Cosby admitted to that.
Well, see, it was so much, like, hoopla, and then you had all the media out there saying 1,001 different things, and I mean, I just don't remember like that because
I mean, that's why it blows my mind though, because it's like public information, but it's like nobody actually knows it. Like, he admitted it. Like, he said, you know, that's what he did. But the thing is that everybody back then thought that that was the thing. Just because it was the thing back then don't mean that it wasn't wrong. Like, when we were coming up through high school, grown men were dating girls in high school, and we didn't think that was wrong either because nobody else thought it was wrong. But guess what? We goddamn 30-plus years old now with daughters and shit. That shit fucking fool.
I know. I used to always think them white boys that been dating them like, 15, 16-year-old girls. Like, they were outside the school. And like, I always used to think them fuckers been fool.
What's black that Netflix
too?
Series?
No, I know about the blacks, too. Don't worry.
Netflix series.
We went to Macedonia Middle, so that was Macedonia what I Middle. Barely saw was the white ones.
I'm going to tell you, bro. When I got older and I started realizing people had kids with other people and they weren't the same age, but their kids were born around a certain time, and I started like adding up math and stuff like that. I'm like, bro, this shit been going on for a long time, bro. And it was normal. It was normal back then. So it was passed down through the generations where it seemed like it was normal to us. And it's crazy because I would like to think that I wouldn't become, you know, I wouldn't fall into that trap. But like, you had people that was living in that area that never really left, never really went nowhere, and that was normal to them. It wasn't like a bad thing. It wasn't until I went off to college that I realized, like, hey, why are these guys dating high schoolers?
Oh my goodness.
You know, I'm in college, you know, I'm seeing college girls that look like grown ass women now. So I'm looking back like, hey man, hey, why are you driving your pickup truck to that goddamn high school, bro? What's wrong with you?
Look, I think Lampa know about this part, but I was thinking of Star Wars 1 and 2, where Anakin was like really young, and then the next episode he come back like grown man, about to pull the same chick. I'm like, how? They were like 15 years apart.
I don't know about that reference, but this shit fool.
Yeah.
Boosie need to get his goddamn head out the sand.
Yeah.
Boosie
need to get his head out the sand. It's funny that, you know, Boosie really, I guess, the ultimate ostrich, because he was connected to Sukiana, who was obviously stupid.
Yeah, that shit was a hell of a segue.
Yeah. So, I mean, my goodness. My goodness.
Hey guys, this is Lamp with the Talking Animals. And have you ever planned a vacation and your friend that was supposed to watch your dog canceled on you? What about a family emergency and you needed a last minute pet sitter? Whether you're working long days or nights, traveling for business, out of town on vacation, or faced with the last minute emergency, your pet always has a home away from home with Champ Strong Kennels. They offer pet daycare, overnight boarding, and other pet care services. They even sell pet-themed apparel and pet items like bowls and mats on their site. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram at Champ Strong LLC, or visit their website at www.champstrongllc.com. Tell them the Talking Animal sent you, and make sure to use the promo code TAPODCAST to get 15% off when booking with Champ Strong Kennels.
Well, listen, you know, we're about to head out this from this week, and you know what time it is before we have to do so, as we enter into the Lion's Den to end the episode this week. You have to hear from me. And as I get into my soapbox this week, get a little something off my chest, really what I want to say is, like, basically something that I said a few weeks ago. You know, a few weeks ago I talked about us as Black people giving each other grace. But also, like, we all need to have some patience. Like, we touched on it last week. You know, we kind of agreed. Somebody said, like, we're never going to be equal. You know, we just aren't. We need to be looking for equity. But also, too, you know, when we have leverage, kind of like the NBA players, when we have opportunity, we got to use some patience, man. Like, you know, we be so happy to get a seat at the table because we never had one before, that we take almost anything. You know, and think we did something, and I guess to a certain extent we did do something. But you know, we gotta realize we could do so much more. And that's what it is, man. It's always like we taking something because we ain't never had nothing. You know? It happens in entertainment, and it plays out in a larger role in society. So you got plenty of artists, whether it was hip hop, R&B, whatever. They never had anything before. So when they get that first contract, they see some money on there. They like, cool. You know, this is before people start having agents and stuff like that. Lawyers that looked out for them. But, I mean, it still happens now, even though, like, you know, somebody give you 200 grand and you ain't never seen 10 grand before. You got 200 now, but really you was worth a mill, you know? But you don't have no patience. You want to get that money fast. That's what we're doing as a people right now. Like, you know, we're accepting peanuts. And now if we have a little bit of patience in that negotiation, I think we could have gotten a little further. That's all I'm saying.
As far as when it comes to money, like, I can understand, you know, why people might take it, because like you might need the money. You know, like if you one of us, you know, we got student loans, we got a house. You know, if somebody offer us enough money right now to say, you know, you could pay off your house, you could pay off your student loans, your cars, etc. Like, I could understand, you know, that. But when it comes to, you know, when you fighting for something, not the fact that you just taking this for the money, but you fighting for something, that to me is different. It's a different ball, you know, it's a different playing field. And I don't understand why people take the minimum in that case. But when it comes to money, I could see it. You know what I'm saying? If that makes any sense.
It do.
I get, because I get what you're saying, because the money thing solves an issue right now. And then when you're fighting for something, it's not going to solve the issue no matter what you do. So you want to get as close to that as possible with what you get.
It's funny you guys make those points like that, because now it makes you think about how Tyler Perry slept in his car and was fighting for something, whereas they couldn't sit out longer than a game.
I don't think those are similar at all.
Yeah, because Beasley talking about when you're fighting for something, like the NBA players fighting for change in America for Black lives.
Well, yeah, I'm just making a comparison. Like, if you want it bad enough, then you would find a way to do it. That's why I was kind of getting
it. It's like chitlins. It's like chitlins and pig feet. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, we don't know what you're saying.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah, like, I was like, wait, dude, chitlins and pig feet, how?
So, do y'all eat chitlin? Do any of y'all eat chitlin?
No.
Do any of y'all eat pig feet?
No.
I do eat pig feet.
You eat pig feet?
I've eaten both.
Have y'all eaten chitlins?
Yes.
Y'all eaten pig feet? We know Lamp eating pig feet. Yes. They still eat them. Yes. So, why did we eat chitlins and pig feet? Why did you try it? You know what I'm saying? Why did you try it?
Because everybody else did. In my house.
Everybody in your house did. Why did everybody in your house try it?
Probably for the same reason.
Because somebody else tried it.
Yeah.
So I guess my point is, you know, chitlins and pig feet was passed down to us. It was a time when chitlins and pig feet was all that was offered. Like, hey, you know, we're going to give y'all, we know y'all harvest this hog for us. We know y'all was out there working in the field, busting y'all ass. Y'all the one who cleaned this pig. Y'all prepped this pig for us for our glorious dinner, where we got this beautiful spiral honey ham in here where we going to eat tonight. But we got a little bit of chitlin for y'all. So here you go. You know, you can have that. And I feel like that's what the NBA got. You got chitlins and pig feet, bro. It's like, yeah, y'all have a little bit of this. Is that enough to suffice? You know, is that good for you? And they took it.
Mm.
Man.
You really brought that home, bro.
But they got enough of the hog that it made them happy. Because the reason we still eat chitlins and pig feet right now is because our ancestors got enough of the hog that it made them happy and they liked it. And then they passed it down to all these generations. So some of us still eat chitlins and fucking pig feet. I don't, because that shit slack. But some of us still eat. But that's the same concept, bro. It's like they gave them a little bit of the hog. They gave them enough of the hog that they said, hey, all right, we taste pig. We taste pork. You know,
what is chitlins again?
Intestines. Ooh. It's a shit sack.
Oh.
You never had chitlin?
I mean, yeah, but I didn't know what part of the...
It's a shit sack.
Bro, you didn't know that chitlins was pig intestines?
No. My mom made plenty of things for me that she just told me just to eat and told me what it was afterwards.
Chitlin, so. just know that chitlin is so disgusting that no matter how much you clean it, wash it, rinse it, whatever, when you finally decide to cook it, it still smells like shit. That's how disgusting it is. And I've known people. I've known people to squirt a little bit of Clorox inside chitlin, inside them intestines, and try to clean it out.
Oh my goodness!
And they still eat it. They pour hot sauce on it, and they put it over rice, and they fuck it up. That's exactly what just happened in the NBA, bro. Like, they threw the motherfuckers some damn chitlins, some hog maw, some pig feet. They threw them all that shit and said, "Here you go,
some pig slop."
And they said, "Oh yeah, we got some of the hog finally." Even though they're the ones who prepped that shit for the dinner table, you know, in the big house, they prepped it. They're the one who putting all the work on the court. You know, they're the one who demanding, you know, the audience. But a little bit of chitlin and pig feet made them happy.
That was genius.
I wish the day were genius and they said we don't eat that shit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm about to say
we want tomahawk steaks, bitch. Yeah.
It ain't genius. It's been done continuously. Like that's the tradition. Yeah. But anyways, man, listen. Hey, have a little patience sometimes. Hey, make sure you don't accept that chilling, you know.
Yeah.
You ain't got to. Make sure you don't accept them chilling. But you know, speaking of eating, that's what we're trying to do. So if you want to help us eat, then make sure you tell somebody about this podcast and that they tell somebody and then that they tell somebody. I'm trying to get these listeners up so that all of us can eat, right? Because we try to eat chitlins too. We try to eat shit. Yeah. So so make sure y'all check us out on Facebook.
I don't want a rich IG, people die.
Yeah, yeah. Coke. But, Yeah. So we're gonna line our way right on up out of here. We'll holler at y'all next week.
Peace.